I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Good morning and happy Thursday. Welcome to a wet, rainy morning throughout the Chicagoland area.
It's beautiful out, Andrea. My car looks clean for the first time in 3 weeks.
And you know what I did yesterday? Wash the car.
Yeah, but you get props for that. It feels so good to look at a clean car.
Even
it's still a win. Good job. I'm proud of you.
Get the mud and salt off, only to get some more slush on there by the end of the day.
Was that a self-service maneuver, or were you out there with the hose? I mean, were you getting a little professional accoutrement?
I did it myself.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I hadn't washed my car by myself in a long time. Well, I mean, because normally we just, you know, I live in the city, you go through the car wash. But
are we talking hose attached to the building? Or
where do you do it, in the garage?
I'm not going to divulge where I washed my car, people.
I did it myself,
so that's a good thing.
That's a big time move by you. With Very soap, good. Or did you just go with the water?
No, I went with soap.
You went
I
with?
I did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And a special cleaning soap for your car.
What a visual.
I know.
Darlis on a Wednesday.
You know, it was a nice day. It was actually, it's day before yesterday, sorry.
Okay.
So it was the nice day, the 60 degree day.
So my husband washed all our cars, too.
So I decided
too.
To wash, wash
wow.
the car.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we get started? Let's crank with the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, topping the list, Mark, I'm sure you saw this. Walmart now joining Dick's Sporting Goods. They will sell guns and ammunition only to people over the age of 21. Company releasing a statement Wednesday said that it's decided to review its firearm sales policy in light of recent events. Of course, they're referring to the Parkland school shooting on Valentine's Day that left 17 people dead.
Go Walmart. Personally, I think, you know, 35 seems like about a good age, but that's an improvement. Go Walmart.
Boy, no kidding. Dick's Sporting Goods is actually the nation's largest sporting goods retailer. They said earlier in the week they're going to stop selling assault-style weapons, period, and raise the sale of all guns to 21.
Yeah, I saw their CEO talking. He said, hey, I'm a gun owner, but we don't want to be in the position that we're in, so they're making the change.
Absolutely. So there you go, Walmart. You like that?
The new
You've
quack.
Heard it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I call it the Joe Romano era.
And it's going to be this is a big time era right here. Joe Romano is going to reshape the entire station. Dreams.
You know what we call
dreams.
Hashtag dreams. Guess what we call him? Super Joe.
Super Joe.
You like that?
What about a Joey JoJo for love?
Joe?
That's old school. Joey JoJo.
Yeah. It's the new era, so we're quacking him and calling him Super Joe.
JR the man.
There you go. Big day in Springfield yesterday. I'm sure you saw this. Eddie Johnson was down there earlier in the week. Blaise Supich, Chicago Cardinal, was down there testifying. So I guess lawmakers listen. Facing pressure to tighten gun laws after the Parkland shooting, Illinois lawmakers, led, of course, by Democrats, voted to create new rules for gun shops. They're going to ban the sale of bump stocks and restrict the purchases of assault weapons. So moving forward again.
Yeah, and I keep on getting bothered by hearing the Democrats, the Republicans. This is one of the more universal, so most people overwhelmingly on board, things should be able to get done.
Yeah, Steve read a survey yesterday. It said more than 70% of NRA members support many of these, especially the bump stocks.
Right. It gives gun owners a bad name.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I understand that, you know, people want to go out and hunt. People want to be able to protect themselves. But come on.
Absolutely.
A little common sense here, team.
And guess who has avoided weighing in on all of this?
I did see that.
Governor Rauner.
Yeah, which is, come on, man. Come on, Bruce.
You know what? He was on the program, was it earlier this week, Joe, or was it last week when Governor Rauner was on and wouldn't commit to...
He was on Friday.
He was on last Friday, Mark, and he said he wouldn't commit, and we asked him outright. He said it needs to be explored. It needs to be a discussion. So we'll see what happens.
Bruce can do better.
There you go. Chicago Public School Board voting to close those four Englewood high schools and an elementary school in the South Loop. This was a very emotional meeting that they've had, very emotional public hearings over the past couple of weeks. So all six current board members voted to permanently close Harper, Hope, Robeson, and Team Englewood high schools. They're the last four neighborhood schools in that Englewood neighborhood, but they said there's declining enrollment and the community, based on community support, they said they're going to close these and build like a super school kind of in the Robeson neighborhood.
Super school with great teachers and beautiful facility. That would be exciting. Hearing that schools are closing and wondering where kids are going to go is a little scary.
Yeah, no kidding. So there you go. Voted to do that. O'Hare Airport last week announced this $8.5 billion expansion. It seemed to be a big deal. More runways. They're going to make Terminal 5, the international terminal, basically Terminal 2, and revamp 1, 2, and 3 with larger concourses. Good deal, right?
I guess. The best part about it, right, is that us taxpayers are not contributing.
Very true. Very
right?
True. That's a good thing. That's
but
a good thing.
Americans annoyed because United's going to have more gates and they're trying to slow it down.
How about that? American Airlines said that they call it it's a secret deal. They're not happy with it. And they emerged actually as the sole airline voicing opposition. And as you said, they said Mayor Emanuel cut a last-minute deal, a secret deal, that is, with United to give them more gates and an unfair advantage because United's based in Chicago.
I didn't know that people still flew American and United. I'm such a Southwest guy.
Are you really?
Yeah. Midway, you're my home. I don't even consider United an American, but they get 95% of the business there. 90%.
How about that?
Sprint Airlines gets like 4%, and I mean, it's nothing. Those two just own O'Hare.
Right, right. Spirit pays you to fly with them.
Right.
Basically.
But then you got to pay for your bags, and it's like $200 a bag.
I flew Spirit one time. I'm not kidding you. And the girl sitting next to me wanted to buy a bottle of water, and I think it was $2.50 or $3.50. She said it's exact change. They didn't have a credit card machine on board. You know, you swipe if you want to buy something. So she had to pay $2.50. She's like, well, forget it. Who has 50 cents? You know, people don't really carry change anymore. Most of us.
Here's $5 for that water.
And she didn't have change to give back to her. And here's the kicker. So then the flight attendant said, go to the washroom and fill up a water bottle with that nasty,
ew, gross
airplane bathroom water.
Oh, I'm flying Spirit on Saturday.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Bring your own water.
Good luck.
Can't do that.
But here's the best part of all of it. She went into the bathroom to fill up the water bottle, which, gross number one, there was no water.
Oh,
what?
No.
So when she came out of the bathroom, they gave her a moist towelette.
I do like a moist towelette.
Did she have to pay for it?
Did she just wring out the moist towelette into
exactly.
a cup?
Oh, how about that?
Thanks for that, guys. I appreciate it.
Sorry.
Right before I go on the flight.
Yeah, bring your change purse, Mayor.
Yeah, there you
my
go.
My change purse. And I play bingo.
Hope Hicks resigning from the White House. She was a big, big, big talking point yesterday. A tearful Hope Hicks. I'm sure you saw this, Steve, announcing her departure from the White House communications team Wednesday afternoon.
You can't tell white lies, I guess, if you're a communications director, right?
How about that? I was stunned that she came out with that.
Yeah,
weren't you?
I was, and it's and even though they said this wasn't because of that testimony,
right?
It had to be.
They said it was planned for weeks.
Yeah. And I don't know. I can't believe that. And I saw one report yesterday, I think in The Hill, that said that Trump berated her after the testimony about that. So maybe she just said, I've had enough.
I'm sure he did, and yeah. I'm sure she did. Yeah.
Why can't we just make... Let's save some money here. The communications team is Trump's Twitter. That's it. Done. Taxpayer money saved. Problem. And no more people getting fired. I mean, that's what he wants, right? Hey, he just wants to tweet out what he...
Carver, there's an opening.
Right?
There you go.
Yeah. But for the country, though, I mean, the communications director for the White House isn't his PR person. It's the country's PR
right.
person. That's what I think a lot of people are missing in this whole conversation is when Sarah Sanders Huckabee comes out onto the press, she's talking on behalf of the government of the U.S.
Right.
Not the president.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Allegedly, right. And finally, we tie it all together with a neat little bow. A self-described Russian seductress is asking for America's help to try to escape a detention center in Thailand. She says she has information on alleged links between President Trump and Russia. It's Anastasia Vashkusevich. Did I say that okay?
You were right there. I personally wouldn't be going Vashkusevich for my information, but maybe that's right. a point they'll make.
So now, the seductress, is this somebody that we would have seen on a 007 movie? Or?
That's a great question. She also goes by the name of Natasha Rybka. She says she's being held in Thailand. She was arrested February 26th along with 9 other Russians in the city of Pattaya for running so-called sex training sessions.
With her partner, Boris.
Right.
Boris and Natasha.
Boris is the man.
But of course. So there you go, the top six at six, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. We have much more coming up for you.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
What to see, what's out at the show, oh, I need to know the place and when.
This is a Nick thing.
But there's one guy on GN's Cochrane show.
Oh, spoil surprise, this is Nick.
And what he says will make us stay or go.
Watch this now.
He is Nick.
See?
At
Hold
night. DiGiulio, he knows what shows are good.
Nick DiGiulio joins me. Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
All right, so I'm not so interested in the movies this weekend as I am in your Oscar predictions, but let's go with Red Sparrow. Red Sparrow, this is the big spy movie?
Yeah, with Jennifer Lawrence. She plays a Russian ballerina who has a career-ending injury and decides to join the Sparrow School,
mm-hmm.
which is this
I'm a graduate.
Secret intelligence service that, oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
So they train people to become sort of spies, and she meets a CIA agent who tries to convince her that being a sparrow is a bad thing, and all hell breaks loose. And I actually hear that this is a, you know, I mean, they're making it look like it's going to be Atomic Blonde,
mm-hmm.
But it's, from what I understand, what I've heard from people is that this is a pretty good, solid, old-fashioned spy thriller.
My number one concern here is the Russian accent, because if it's bad, I'm out. I won't be able to focus.
Yeah. Judging by the trailer, I haven't seen the movie. I'm going to see it on Saturday. But judging by the trailers, her Russian accent is fine.
Is it more Natasha than it is actual Russian? You know, Boris Natasha? Do we know?
Yeah, as far as I can tell from the commercials, Boris should be hanging out with her.
Okay. All right. Give me 10 seconds on Death Wish, and we'll get to the Oscars.
It's an unnecessary remake of the Charles Bronson movie, and it's being released at a time when it shouldn't be released. So that's all I'm saying.
Best supporting actress, who do you like?
Allison Janney. I mean, my choice would be. Hold on a second. Laurie Metcalf would be my choice, because I think Laurie Metcalf.
She's great.
First of all, is phenomenal, and she was amazing in Lady Bird, but. Allison Janney will win it, and it's weird because I think the acting categories are all locks. I think the two major categories that aren't are director and picture.
Right,
I think those could go in a few different ways.
All right, we'll get to those. Best supporting actor.
It's Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's the Sam Rockwell train took off about 2 months ago and it's just continued, and he deserves it. He's phenomenal in that movie. And this is a guy that's been around for over 20 years, consistently doing great work,
He's great.
finally getting the recognition he deserves, and he's going to win.
Billboard over him. Best actress?
Frances McDormand.
Yeah, without a doubt. And by the way, look forward to her crazy acceptance speech.
Yeah.
She's wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a loon, and I love her. I absolutely love her.
Her wild-eyed, crazy acceptance speech. Best actor?
Well, Gary Oldman, that was a given.
It's the easiest one all night.
Came out. Yeah, I think that's I mean, you can bet if you're in an Oscar pool, bet your entire house on Gary Oldman for sure winning.
Best director.
Okay, I'm saying Guillermo del Toro, and I think that he's going to get it. And the weird thing is that Three Billboards has got, you know, like all this stuff going into it, the momentum going into it, but they didn't nominate Martin McDonagh for director, which is of course absurd. So I think they're going to go with Guillermo del Toro, but there is this weird thing about Get Out where Jordan Peele might get it, and it would be absolutely crazy.
That'd be a Marissa Tomei sort of Oscars moment if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be bigger than that if Jordan Peele, first out of the gate, first movie that the guy ever directed, coming out of sketch comedy?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, Best Picture. There's 47 nominations for Best Picture. No, there's, what is there? Is there 10? Did we get 10?
Nine.
Because you got to get at least 5% of the nomination votes. And they got nine pictures in. Tell me the ones that are definitely not going to win.
Okay. Darkest Hour will not win. Dunkirk will not win. Lady Bird will not win. Phantom Thread will not win. The Post will not win.
Why Dunkirk? No.
Nobody, you know what I mean? It's not won a single award. It's been nominated. Yeah, it's been, it came out in July.
Yep.
A lot of people have forgotten about it. It's a terrific movie. It's a great film, but I don't think it's got a chance.
All right. So the remaining four, I think there's four left. What are they?
Right. Okay. It's Call Me By Your Name.
Yep.
The Shape of Water and Get Out and Three Billboards. Those are the ones that you can kind of go in back and forth on. I am predicting Three Billboards.
Yeah, I agree.
Will win, and I'm rooting for it. But again, the buzz around Get Out, the dark horse here is Get Out. And boy, if that wins Best Picture, I mean, I'll tell you, it'll be a stunning moment. And I like the fact that going into Oscar weekend, the biggest prize of the night is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah, it's different. You know? Yeah, there's no lock there.
Fun. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what really matters, and that's Lost in America. Yeah. Lost in America, Nick's movie club showing is Tuesday night, 8 o'clock at the AMC Rosemont 18, AMCtheaters.com. Elevator pitch on this movie is what?
It's one of the greatest American comedies ever made, about a couple in the 80s that decide to drop out of society, liquidate all their funds, buy a Winnebago, and drive around and touch Indians until they get to Vegas. And then all hell breaks loose.
And what we never talk about with this movie is who plays Albert Brooks' other better half.
That would be Julie Haggerty,
right?
Who in five years span starred in two of the greatest comedies ever.
Right, Airplane and Lost in America.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and she's in Freddy Got Fingered, the Tom Green movie. So that's three.
Okay, so two out of three. That's not terrible.
No, but Lost in America is just such a, you know, I mean, you know, every time we've talked about it on the air, Steve, we talked about how, you know, I mean, seriously, you and I are biggest fans of this. It's one of the greatest comedies ever made.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about it. And by the way, we dropped our price. Cut out the free popcorn, but it's only $9.99 to get in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Looks like AMC has sent out a memo. All right, so $9.99 to get in instead of the $14. Yeah. So you can still afford your popcorn.
Exactly.
All right. So it all comes out in the way.
And free parking.
Well, you're free parking. Yeah, you should park there anytime you're coming to Chicago anyway, just because the parking there is free. I don't know how you get downtown, but that's up to you.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper.
You take the blue line. You can jump on the blue line. It's a 2-minute walk.
Nick DiGilio. He'll be watching the Oscars and contemplating it and to spit it out next week when he gets back on the air. And thank you as always, buddy. And, of course, follow Nick on social media. Chuck Todd's coming up. Breaking. We're back on 720 WGN.
Oh, he's a monster.
I'm sitting there tweeting.
Monster.
Big, big, big tweeting.
Monster. I love you. It's a guy, but I love you.
President had a very odd meeting yesterday afternoon. It sort of felt like the get-together with the Democrats and Republicans, what, Andre, about a month ago over immigration.
Yes.
When he wanted a bill of love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And yesterday, he met with Republicans and Democrats and said a lot of things that would make folks who want more gun control quite happy if he could deliver on them. He also tried to reach out and backwards to the folks who are mostly concerned about the rights they believe they have and do have under the Second Amendment,
mm-hmm.
and tried to ride the middle. It was sort of Trump 101, you know, stir up the room, get some chaos going and see what lands and then decide where he's going to go on it. It was interesting to watch the reactions of people, the Texas Senator John Cornyn and Dianne Feinstein, the California senator. It sort of looked like a game show.
Yeah.
You know, Trump was a host in the middle, and for a moment, Cornyn looked like, oh, crap, I lost. And Feinstein looked like, oh, he's listening to me, I won. And then their roles sort of reversed. But the big headline that jumped out of it was the idea that due process will come later.
Right.
That if we suspect somebody is going to be a nut, we take their guns away until they prove they're not a nut.
Yes.
We don't live in that world.
No, it's a little passive aggressive.
Yeah, and that is a constitutional violation as opposed to the alleged right that you have to have an AK. You do not. You have a constitutional right to a gun, but the type of gun that you can carry and have is determined by law. For instance, let's say I was a big fan of a bazooka.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go out today to Bazookas R Us and buy a bazooka.
No.
So because of that, it was a bizarre meeting with interesting offshoots. And he thought, well, that's going to be the big news of the day. And then what happened? Hope Hicks out.
How about that?
Out. Out.
Boy.
Hope Hicks out yesterday. And she would be really the president's shadow. I mean,
sure.
She was always right there.
Mm-hmm.
Communications director for the White House ever since the reign of Anthony Scaramucci ended after 11 great days. And then you thought, well, that's really the big news of the day. But the story that's bubbling under, and we're trying to find Chuck, because if we get Chuck Todd on, I want to ask him about this. Rick Gates, all of his charges dropped.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
And there was nobody was talking about it. This, to me, has to be the biggest story, because if Rick Gates' charges are dropped, that would mean to me that Bob Mueller said, you're giving me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's Pat Brady about this? Because he's dealt with these weasels before.
Right.
He's been in those rooms where he had to do the negotiations.
I think he's talking, don't you?
Well, he has to be.
I mean, to get a deal like that, to have every charge dropped.
Right.
Because normally they leave one, like an obstructing or
right.
misconduct.
Parking violation.
Official misconduct. Yes, something like that. Tax evasion.
Something.
That's another one.
Something. So just ahead of preview of the headlines and traffic, give me a brief on this, Pat Brady, as a former prosecutor. What exactly does it mean that Rick Gates would get all of the charges against him, and there were plenty, dropped in that short order?
Well, remember, he already pled to two charges, and then they threw a bunch of other bank fraud and some other charges on him. It means he's cooperating. And they,
but like he's got to be talking a lot, right? Because he originally went for a reduction of charges, and then he wiped the slate clean.
Yeah, that's typically what you do. You give something like... for him to cooperate, he's going to need a deal, and he must be giving them a lot. Mm-hmm. Or at least... You got to remember what the prosecutor's doing. They're not trying to convict people. They're trying to find out what the facts are. So he's giving them facts. This is not a witch hunt against Trump, like he likes to say. This testimony is helpful to us, given the other evidence that we've compiled. He must be doing a good job. He must be being truthful. He must be being cooperative. So they're giving him a deal, and that's how it works. But he is going
up. If you charge me with three felonies and a couple of lesser felonies, and I start talking, and then you come back to me and you say, listen, I'm going to revoke your bail agreement. You're not going to be able to wear one of our fancy ankle bracelets, and you're going to be back in jail. And then, you'd like to talk now? Okay, we're going to reduce the charges, and then we're going to wipe them clean. That doesn't indicate a stage of discussion. In other words, Rick Gates starting to talking, and now he's talking a lot?
No, because the deal from the outset is you cooperate fully, and you tell us the truth, or there is no deal. I'm not sure if there's a...
What kicks the lever to say all the charges are going to go away?
They never will. Because, remember, this person's still going to have to be a witness. And
right.
If you put a witness on the witness stand, and if I'm a defense lawyer, I'm going to go, well, you were looking at 35 years in prison. Now you're looking at zip. So you've got a real incentive not to tell
and
the truth.
And you can say
here.
That, right, in front of me.
Absolutely.
Well,
that's how you cross-examine them, or that's what you'd tell the jury. I don't put as much significance into the charges being dropped as the fact that he continues to cooperate. And to me, this is just a sign that he's cooperating. They like what he's doing. He's being truthful, and he's going to be one of their witnesses. Now, I'm not sure what he knows or where this is going, but the bigger piece to me is that he was actually in the White House beyond Manafort and was during the transition, so he might have a lot more information than even Manafort has.
Okay,
I want to ask a
he's saving one last thing.
Yeah,
he's saving his own backside, because his buddy and his cohort, his boss Paul Manafort, is going to go away for a long time. So is he talking just about Manafort, or is he talking about more?
I assume he's talking about more, because the Manafort case is looked at least from the indictment. Plus, again, they added additional charges on Manafort. Manafort case looked pretty airtight. I think if he's cooperating, it's probably a bigger picture thing.
As a former prosecutor, I know later on in the show, I want to ask Pat Brady the difference between, on a different but similar topic, the difference between a lie and a white lie.
Ah, yeah, white lies.
And what's
That's Hope Hicks' world. And as a prosecutor, you deal in facts and the truth.
Okay.
And to administer justice, there's no such thing as a white lie.
Actually, that's a pretty good that's a good text question today. What white lies are okay?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
What white lies are okay?
I, for someone that's in the communications business like she is, you'd think that she would be a little smarter than to make that statement.
Well, a little more transparent, too.
Yeah.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. She was a communications director because she was closest to the title at that point when Scaramucci was thrown out of the building. It's not because she had long amounts of qualifications that went into it. Scaramucci didn't have any qualifications right. to be the communications director.
No, so there's been on the circuit.
There's different felonies for which you charge, Class A, Class X.
No, it's that's state system.
Okay. And,
but there are different
So there
ranges.
Are different lie categories, too?
Well, there's a, what do you call it? It'd be lying to a federal agent. There's
perjury.
Obstruction of justice. There's perjury.
Okay.
It's not like the state system, but like, for example, Manafort, one of the highest things in the white collar world is money laundering. Those can be 20-year felonies. You know, bank frauds can be 20-year felonies. So these are significant charges they're dealing with. People going to prison for a long time if they're convicted.
I just got a tip from a listener. Apparently my Twitter account has been hacked and somebody has posted a semi-pornographic Sports Illustrated tweet. That will be changed immediately. No, it wasn't me. Chuck Todd joins us, and the one thing we didn't get to in the headlines that exploded from yesterday is Jared Kushner. And good morning, Chuck. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
What exactly is the buzz, and what's your instinct on how much trouble Jared Kushner's in based on what happened yesterday?
Well, Jared Kushner has no friends in the White House. That's what I'm learning in the last 48 hours. Now, granted, I think I knew that before the last 48 hours, but we're getting confirmation of that issue, because think about Jared Kushner over the course of the last week. John Kelly took away his top secret clearance. And in order to, what appears to me, make sure the president doesn't overrule him, we have the stories, two stories to support the decision or explain the decision of why he doesn't have top secret clearance. Story number one is in the Washington Post yesterday, where there are intercepts of four different countries claiming they know ways to influence Jared. Some nefarious, where they bring up the money. Then today, the New York Times reports how magically Kushner Company's got some of the largest loans they've ever gotten. And coincidentally, the two entities involved had meetings with Jared Kushner in the White House before those loans happened.
And they were big, so, crazy-sized, outsized loans in the portfolio that wouldn't have been normally given in all likelihood.
Hundreds of million. One was the largest loan a hedge fund had ever been involved in, and one was a gigantic nine-figure loan from Citibank. So now you have evidence of conflict of interest, evidence of potentially influence operations, for better or for worse, all coming out after the decision is made to take away his top secret clearance. Jared Kushner's in big, big trouble.
So Hope Hicks out yesterday. Do they need a comms director at the White House? Was she really that, or was that just the title?
Well, most people thought her title was comms director, COMMS director. What many people inside the White House realized, she was the calm director, the CALM director of the president of the United States. And that's the issue here, is that, look, she was in way over her head as far as traditional communications directors are concerned. Okay, she, very myopic view of the press, of messaging, and all those things. But she had one thing that nobody else in that West Wing has: the ability to calm the president down.
So she was the Trump whisperer. And
that's right. And now Ivanka's the only one left, and that has a calming influence on him. All of the other people that are his comfort people are gone. That means, basically, other than Ivanka, he's got Twitter to comfort himself, and we know it. Life is like for him when he uses Twitter as a comforting tool.
And then we were just talking off the air a second ago and on the air as well about this Rick Gates story, that all the charges were dropped, which Pat Brady was just explaining to me doesn't necessarily mean he's talking more than he was when some of the charges were going to be dropped. But that's not a good development.
It's not a good development at all if you're the president. And the thing that ought to scare him on Rick Gates is, look, it seems clear to me I think now Mueller is trying to flip Manafort. And because the pressure he is putting on Manafort is unbelievable. And Gates hung in there for a year before he cracked. And they cracked Gates, and yes, he'll be a witness in Manafort, but I don't think Mueller has any interest in having the Manafort case go to trial. And Gates was part of the transition. So he's trying to find out how big is the conspiracy of Americans helping Russians, right? Manafort right now is the person he has closest to dead to rights, with sort of conspiring with Russians to sort of undermine our national security in some form, using the Ukraine, with the issue of Ukraine. The question is, and what he's doing is building a case to who else participated in, quote unquote, this conspiracy, right? He's laying out the conspiracy in the various indictments that we've read so far. And Yeah, I think, you know, I think he's looking for Gates to get him in the Trump people, and I think he's looking for Manafort to get to more Americans, whether that's Trump people, whether that's other people, I don't know.
You made a point yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, and it may have been online, so pardon me if I got this wrong, but the point being, white lies from a communications director, whether it's in title or in reality, mean you can't trust anything that comes out of her mouth going forward. So she's gone, all that all being said. But this is a White House who has screamed fake news as one of their calling cards. A little tough to marry those two?
I actually think the right thing happened for the White House. She, to me, was unusable as a communications director anymore. And you know, she admitted to telling, quote, white lies. Well, when you're speaking for the United States of America, okay, when you're speaking for the President of the United States, you're speaking for the United States of America. All lies matter, to borrow a phrase. Oh. And so one person's white lie is another person's damaging lie, okay? It's a very subjective thing, and it's a slippery slope when you start lying. And I have to tell you, I think one of the reasons why Hope resigned so fast, and I know they're insisting it had nothing to do with white lies. I think the president, I don't know this, but I know him well enough. He is angry, going to be angry at Hope Hicks for ever admitting anything like that. You never apologize, and you never admit wrongdoing, even if they have you dead to rights. And I think he unloaded on her yesterday for even saying white lies. Because it opened the door to say, aha, see, who is the biggest purveyor of fake news? The White House.
So last thing, I'll let you go. In against Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, MTP Daily, and the 1947 podcast. Screaming at her and saying, how could you be so stupid? That doesn't help him legally going forward either, if the people in the room who witnessed that have to testify to that.
Look, I, you know, in defense of Hope Hicks, she couldn't, under oath, when she was asked if she'd ever lied for the president, she felt compelled to try to not fully lie, right? She sat there and said, well, I at his directions, I have done a little white lies. And maybe they all are the very definition of what a white lie is, which is, you know, a lie that doesn't harm anybody else individually. But given that this White House has such a credibility problem as it is, something like that is unrecoverable, I think. And I don't think she could be helpful to him at all other than as a personal whisper.
Chuck Todd, Sunday, Meet the Press. I'm sure you guys are busy working on that show, but anything in particular you want to plug?
We do. It's a big, well, it's just, I think we've spent a lot of time on guns for obvious reasons, sure. But I think we're going to do a big Russia story. I think the Mueller probe, Mueller's closing in, and I think the president's and what's happening inside the West Wing as a result of that.
These are the crazy times we live in. We didn't even have time to discuss a potential recusal, if you will, of the Second Amendment by the president in the White House yesterday. We didn't have time to talk about it because there's too many other things.
Because nobody believes him. Nobody believes anything he said yesterday in public on guns.
There's that. That's
the reason. That's the real reason. We all know better.
All right, Chuck. Thanks.
All right.
Chuck Todd, NBC News. All right, back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pat Brady's here, and Pat is with Next Generation Strategies. Tom Dart, Sheriff of Cook County, joins us as well. And Sheriff Dart, I don't know if you had a chance to see really a terrific story, a terrific article by way of reporting from Jeremy Gorner, Annie Sweeney, and Jason Meisner in the Tribune this morning, tracing the gun that killed Commander Paul Bauer through all the nauseating, typical ways we find that guns get to Illinois and to criminals illegally. It just makes you sick.
You know, Steve, I haven't read it yet, but I will a little bit later. But as you said, I guess, is anybody surprised in the sense that we hear this story all the time about how the gun was legally purchased at this time by this person and then through about four different transactions ends up in the worst person's hands that no one would ever want it in. And then we hear that story over and over and over again.
Should a guy like Bauer's killer have been on the street after four felonies?
You know, that's one where the judges, I was looking at his background and looking at the different charges. He was the armed robbery charge that he was convicted of, he got 16 years, which for, you know, in the spectrum of armed robbery, that's a pretty significant sentence. There was one case, though, that I couldn't figure out, and, you know, I'm like you guys, I'm trying to interpret it, but there was a former judge who was looking at it, and he said it seemed strange because it was a gun case, but then it got reduced down, and he didn't have any explanation why it was reduced, and I certainly don't either. So that's the one charge against him that was very puzzling, because that one didn't make sense. But the other ones, like, as I say, an armed robber getting 16 years in the spectrum of what they're allowed to give them, that's a pretty heavy hit.
Well, there's certain rules that you have to follow, for instance, the electronic monitoring program. If somebody has a history of being a violent criminal, they're in all likelihood not going to be eligible for electronic monitoring. Yet, in the past week, I've noticed that you and your office have taken tremendous heat from Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle's office about how you're handling cases like this. So what's up with that story?
Yeah, Steve, you know, I was and am one of the biggest proponents of bond reform. I mean, start with the fact that objective outside observers said our bond hearings on average lasted 22 seconds. So 22 seconds for the state's attorney to speak, the public defender to speak, the judge to speak, theoretically the defendant to speak. So the notion there was thoughtful bond hearings going on is absurd. So we needed to do that. I was watching all the mentally ill being dumped in jails and people being held because they can't come up with $100. So we needed reform, big advocate of that. They've made changes, and a lot of it's great. A lot of it's keeping the mentally ill out of there, and these people who are just poor, they're staying out of there. But no one in the right mind was saying to themselves, hey, one of the bond reforms is we got to get more gun offenders on the streets. And so sure enough, we started looking at, you know, who is being released as a result of these new bond reforms that are put in place. And sure enough, we looked at it, and whereas there used to be the rarest occasion a gun offender would get out on electronic monitoring, it was like 1 or 2% of the times. Now it's like 22% of the times gun offenders are getting electronic monitoring, which, Steve, it's a bracelet on someone's leg.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then electronic monitoring was meant for drug offenders,
right.
You know, people who don't show up for court. And I just inform the different players in the system, say, listen, guys, I don't know if you care to look at the numbers, but the numbers are showing gun offenders are getting out at a record pace. And the numbers are staggering, Steve. The number of people charged with aggravated UUW, that increased 57%, the ones being ordered to electronic monitoring. Armed habitual criminals, that increased 582%. The armed violence people, that went up 143%. UUW by felon went up 158%. And I just told him, I go, guys, time out. This was not anyone's idea of what, at least the meetings I was at, as far as bond reform. We weren't going to be throwing gun offenders out in the street. And there's this pushback now saying, well, they're not recidivating. It's been 6 months, my friends, A. And B, the other part, everyone acknowledges most of these people with guns and these shooters are not being arrested. So the notion that somehow you can say, well, they haven't been reoffended, that means they haven't been re-caught. That's not a big deal these days because no one's being, no one's catching these guys with the guns.
Tom, what happened? Why did this happen? It's just on the judges, or and why did the county board president react so adamantly against you on that? I don't get it.
I don't, Pat, I don't either. They have a new head of the bond court, and he's truly one of the best judges in the entire system. Thoughtful, hardworking. I mean, one of the most decent people you'd ever meet. And he's a person you can sit down and walk all this stuff through. But when I was trying to alert the county board people about this, there was this immediate reaction. It was like, these are good numbers that people are getting out. And it's like, no. Nobody was talking about letting these type of people out. So I am really shocked by the response that I was getting from them, because what I wrote them is, hey, listen, we need to slow this thing down. We need to evaluate these people. I mean, one of the guys, Pat, that we stopped from going out who was ordered on EM was a guy they had picked up on a aggravated battery case with a handgun that was then upgraded to an attempt murder case. And it's like, you know what? I don't believe we were talking about putting attempt murders out on the street. I mean, this is not what this was ever envisioned. And so the pushback from them, I don't get it. The public defender, I get it. They want everyone out. So, I mean, when she pushed back on me, you know, whatever. She's for gun offenders getting on the street. I don't think myself, and I don't think the people in this county, particularly the city, are looking forward to more gun offenders.
Yeah, and by the way, President Preckwinkle's welcome here to try to explain it, but we don't understand it. I mean, we literally don't understand what the outrage has been this week.
Sheriff, it seems like they are getting out, though. Even this 16 years on an armed robbery for the man accused of shooting Commander Bauer, he's out on the street. So I'm just curious, why are we minimizing the sentencing guidelines? Is it because of this alleged overcrowding, both for gun and drug offenses? There was a story, there was a gun offender on electronic monitoring the day after Commander Bauer was shot and killed, who was dealing drugs and guns out of his South Loop high-rise, high-end condo building. So why are they being let out?
You know, I don't know. I think, to be quite honest with you, the changes in these rules that they instituted in the bond court, one of the big ones was to make sure you aren't holding somebody because of their lack of money. And I think, you know how the pendulum swings? This pendulum swung way too far. And it requires, you know, thoughtful people to sit down and say, let's fix this, guys. And think about this for a second. Who would ever put in place a major overhaul of a system and not have like a 1 month, 2 month, 3 month evaluation to see, is it working? Is it getting the results that we want? And if it's not, let's fix it. It certainly wasn't supposed to be left to me to do it, but thank God we were doing it, because when we looked at it, it was like, this is the very thing Eddie always talks about, that revolving door. Their guys go out, they arrest people, they bring them into court, and next thing you know, they're looking on, and he's back on the street the next day. It's like, what happened here? And it was a bill I had in Springfield last year that the House killed for no reason, that was going after this very same thing, saying, listen, we gotta look at gun offenders differently. We can't have them being arrested. It's hard enough to arrest them, but once we arrest them, we can't have them coming right back out. And so it was
it's insane. Look, it's insane to have somebody that's convicted. If you're convicted of a gun felony,
right,
there should be a mandatory sentence, not one mm-hmm. you can walk on.
Right. I completely agree. I mean, as a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen, I don't care if they can't pay to get out of jail.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have
them.
Outrageous. I don't care if it's, you know, if you're a repeat offender and you have a gun or are dealing even a small amount of cocaine or whatever it might be, marijuana, I don't think you should be let out.
Well, here's
just
the thing.
Because, oh,
but
you can't bond out?
But see, there's the thing. I think that's where it gets gray if you start blending drugs in. Frankly, I don't care if you're dealing drugs.
Right.
If you commit a gun felony, I care a lot. Because the drug problem will take care of it.
But they usually go hand in hand.
That's true.
Yeah, well, what we were trying to do last year was saying, listen, all of our numbers, which we studied, which once again nobody else was doing, showed that in gun cases, 25% of the time, they were able to make bond, even really heavy bonds. So the judges were setting heavy bonds, and they were making it, whereas people stealing things, retail thieves, they were making bond only 4% of the time. And it's like, this is absurd. But the rationale was, is the gangs will come up with the money to get their shooters out because they're valuable to have on the street.
Right.
And we're like, you got to change this, folks. And so the pushback from the things, I say, understand the public defender. They want to get everybody out. But from the other folks, it's like, you got to be kidding me. This is not what we need here. We need thoughtful type of process here. If you've got a gun, we look at you completely differently. Completely differently.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're gaming the system to get gun felons back on the street, well, I don't know how you look at yourself in the mirror. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if that's your job.
I agree with you.
It's ridiculous. The last word, Pat.
No, what's the solution, Tom?
You know, I had some conversations that I said, I can't emphasize enough to you that we have to be straightforward here. There's some great, great judges that are trying to work in this system. And as I said, the one overseeing the bond court is, I can tell you, the best in the system. So if anybody can help fix it, it'll be him. But the reality is, let's slow this thing down. And that's why I suggested to folks, when we get these gun offenders, they're being ordered on EM, we stop the presses. We sit down, we put our heads together, we reevaluate it, but they're not eligible for my EM program, which is people who have drug offenses.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not that hard. It just really is not that hard.
It's not.
Sheriff Tom Dart, thank you. I appreciate the time. You know that.
See you, Tom.
Thank you guys so much.
There you
Take
go.
Care.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart. And President Preckwinkle's welcome here. I just don't understand the outrage, an open letter that was sent, and all the things that are coming out, because she's welcome here to explain what her side of this.
Mm-hmm. Make America vote again today. Mama, vote today and tomorrow.
Listen, all we want is for you to participate. Mama, Democrat, Republican, Venusian, whatever.
Everyone.
March 20th is a primary. Pav Ready, Next Generation Strategies. Eric Edelstein, AL Media. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Let's talk about this. Eric, let's talk about this Attorney General's race.
Sure.
At last count, there were 411 Democrats running.
411. It might be 412 as of today. We have a client. We're working for State Senator Kwame Raoul. We think he'd be the best candidate, but obviously other people should make up their own minds. I think here's why it's important. Obviously, the governor's race gets the marquee status, but in this moment where there's this chaos in Washington, Justice Department kind of under fire, a lot of things that progressives believe in, environmental regulations, voting rights, immigration reform kind of being rolled back, the attorney generals in each state have become really the last line of defense for some of these civil liberties. And so who the attorney general is really matters in this moment, in a big time.
And it matters who gets to the general.
That's right.
Which is why you need to vote in the primary.
That's right.
So you eliminate all of these candidates and pare it down to one Democrat. If you take a Democrat's ballot, you go to ballotpedia.org. And again, we get nothing for saying this. It's just a very handy website which details these candidates. And on Ballotpedia, you can print your sample ballot, take it into the voting booth with you. But you can literally go through all the 311 or 411 Democrats and find out where they stand on all the issues.
And look, my thing is... and you guys have heard me say this before. I'll say it again. I'm not a Pollyanna. I know there's huge problems in our electoral system. But what my pet peeve is people who complain about it but don't vote.
Yep.
Don't complain if you're not going to vote. If you vote and you're not happy, sure, you can complain all you want. But, you know, as RFK said, elections remind us not just of our rights but our responsibilities. And we all have a responsibility as citizens to try to do something to make this place a little better.
And they've made it very easy to do that. That's one thing Illinois has gotten quite right, frankly.
It's the easiest, one of the easiest in the country.
Yeah, no doubt. The Republican side of the AG race?
First of all, I want to irritate Eric right now by saying I wholeheartedly, as a Republican, endorse Kwame. I'm kidding. Kwame's a great guy, a great candidate. He would be a great attorney general. But I think on our side, we have a great candidate in Erica Harold, Harvard-educated lawyer, former Miss USA, very articulate, smart, thoughtful, and the difference may be in the perspective of what a Republican would bring versus a Democrat. And I agree that those, with what Eric said on the issues that are important, but a lot of people in this state, the state in which we live, in the last 16 years under the Speaker's daughter, we haven't had any investigations of public corruption, and we have had an Attorney General who has the tools, who's paid very little time and attention to the crime problem, which requires a holistic statewide solution. So I think when we get Erica Harold, I think that's a couple of things that she's been talking about. And as a Republican, I think those are important.
Who is the candidate that's standing up to Mike Madigan?
Well, Scott Drury has done that. I mean, he was a state rep. He's kind of been an ankle biter in the legislature, kind of an irritant.
You say that as a positive.
As a positive ankle biter. Yeah, yeah. No, I just mean that he hadn't made a lot of friends in Springfield, and not just because of his opposition to Madigan, just he's sort of been an irritant to a lot of people, hasn't worked well with others. But
is it politics to say it's important that the AG is willing to stand up to the governor or to the speaker, or does it actually matter? In other words, how often do those two jobs cross?
Well, I mean, Pat would know better. I would say, you know, that look, the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Illinois. That's a broad mandate. There's sort of a dual role of both defending the state of Illinois as well as advocating for the people of Illinois, and sometimes those two things cross.
Right, and then what the current Attorney General has done, which is unusual in any other jurisdiction in the country, is she put away the public corruption and the crime side of the Attorney General's office, and she's the only one that has statewide grand jury power, and focused on consumer protection, which is important. But in a state like Illinois, where the two of the big problems are corruption and crime, I think it's time for the Attorney General to take the focus back to what it traditionally has been.
Andre has the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Walmart joining Dick's Sporting Goods, saying it will no longer sell firearms to people younger than 21. Walmart going a step further, saying it would restrict ammunition sales to those 21 and older. Dick's also announcing it would stop selling assault-style rifles and high-capacity magazines. Walmart stopped selling those type of weapons 3 years ago.
Steve Cochran Show continues, 743 now. The reason we keep stressing making America vote again and going out and voting in the primary, look, I'm not delusional enough to think we're going to change the world in one voting cycle, but there is an opportunity to change. And here's some of the apathy that's out there, whether it's understandable or not. You got to change this attitude. 630, no one can change the system. Madigan wins. 630, I'm not going to waste my time voting. No one can inflict change. 630, no one needs to vote in the primary. Nothing changes. 630, nothing will change with gun laws. Big deal, so you don't sell to anyone under 21. If they want to get a gun, they will. That apathy does nothing. And that's why we're talking about what Eric had mentioned earlier. If you don't vote, don't bother texting. You know, just stay home, stay in your house, and wonder why things never change. Because if you just leave it up to the people in charge who have screwed it up, then how do we fix the thing? That's what we're talking about.
I don't, you know, want to be critical of anyone, but I think not only does that not do anything, I think it's corrosive. And, you know, people who say those things, look, they may not be wrong.
And that's the minority, by the way.
It is the minority, but those people are enjoying their constitutional rights. They're enjoying their freedoms. And I guess the message would be, none of it's guaranteed, folks. You know, it can be taken away. And the notion
Reagan
that...
Reagan used to say that. Yeah. One generation away.
And the notion that that it's always going to be like this, and we're always going to have these freedoms, and, you know, the institutions of democracy will be robust. It's not a guarantee, Pat.
No, it's not.
The gun story is brutal. You know, your son, my favorite Pat Brady, turns 18 today.
Yes.
So he's about to get out of high school. And when you think about your daughter, who's still in high school, and Eric, your daughter in high school, they should not have to go to high school at their age and worry about safety. They should worry about whether or not you're going to be mad if they did their homework and having fun with their friends, and what's going on with prom or what's going on with sports and the stuff that matters in high school.
It has been interesting and fun to watch the young kids from Florida.
Amazing.
I've never seen kids so articulate, so well-spoken, and able to get the message out and so engaged. And that's, we need more of that. Maybe the next generation.
But that's the broader point here, because for everybody that thinks nothing can change, they're changing it.
They're
those kids standing up are changing it in the last 2 weeks.
Well, the Me Too movement. This year, we've actually seen a lot of change in sexual harassment, hopefully the gun laws. We saw some change yesterday. They passed 3 significant gun laws in Illinois.
You know, you can... There is a straight line through American democracy that when it isn't from leadership down, it's when people, particularly young people, take to the streets, things change. Look at the women's suffrage movement. Sure. Look at the civil rights movement. Look at the end of the Vietnam War. And I think these kids in what's happened in high school, I think we are at a watershed moment. And it isn't going to come from our generation and leadership. Right. It's their country to inherit. Millennials will be, you know, I think a third of eligible voters in this next election. And I think what you're seeing out of these kids, you know, the difference is I do think, you know, we talk about the evils of social media and sort of the corrosive effects of that. But the difference between Columbine and Parkland is really cell phones in a lot of ways.
No doubt.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The documentation of this and these kids being so connected.
And not camera shy.
And not camera shy, I think has created a real difference. And I think the change will come from a younger generation. My daughter's generation, your son's generation, these kids in Florida. You know, I flew home yesterday and Congressman Krishnamoorthy happened to be on my flight. And he said the caucus had some of these Parkland kids sat with them, some of the Democratic caucus in Washington yesterday. And, you know, his remark, you know, obviously sad, poignant, emotional. But he said these kids were so articulate and so smart about the laws and the sophisticated about what's wrong with the political system that he was really impressed with that.
It's like a post-millennial generation almost, if you will, because they're respectful, they're orderly, and think about all of these kids now emerging from Parkland. They're well-dressed, they're well-spoken, they're not using any sort of violence, they're not taking to the street and smashing windows or overturning cars. They're very respectful because I think they mean business.
They've been the grown-ups.
And they know what needs to be done, though. You know, they know we have to register to vote. You have to vote to make change. You have to be fluent in your statements and
the grown-ups from Parkland are 15 to 18 years old. That's exactly right. Now, when we come back, either one of you can take this on. The Paul Bauer Act wasn't taken up in the midst of Gun Day yesterday in Springfield. The Paul Bauer Act allows the new law that would ban high-capacity magazines and no body armor. How can this not be a no-brainer? And how was it not even voted on? That and also a bill that would enhance screening of mental illness from folks suffering from that from buying firearms, whether it's a longer waiting period or deeper screening, again, wasn't even taken up. So for the bills that were passed, good, but does that mean the other ones are dead? We'll take it up in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 7:52 now. And as we continue with show number 1098, Eric Edelstein, Pat Brady, and I will be on Channel 9 News at 11 this morning. I don't know, 11:30, 11:45, something like that, talking about making America vote again. One of the texters a moment ago brought up how will changing any laws keep a criminal from getting a gun? It's what we hear all the time. Criminals will get guns if they want guns. The simplest way to boil that part of the argument down to me is we're playing the odds now. The reason you don't want an AR-15 in the hands of somebody shooting a place up is because they can kill more people. You have to limit the carnage and limit the chance that a crazy person will get a gun. None of this is a cure-all. There's not a single law you can pass that guarantees none of this will happen again.
It's got to be a federal solution, though, because in Chicago, a lot of these guns come from Indiana and they come up I-55. So there's got to be some sort of federal solution to this. It can't just be a state solution, I don't think.
So what about the laws that weren't even picked up or voted on? What about the Paul Bauer Act in particular? How does that not get how does that not sail through, considering the timing?
You know, I don't know what happened down there, but we've said all along, and this applies to both Democrats and Republicans, the gun lobby is probably the strongest lobby in the country, and they have a lot of influence.
The
second point of that, too, there are a lot of people in this state and others that firmly believe in the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution gives them the right to have a gun.
But the right to have a gun doesn't mean you have the right to have any type of gun.
Well, that's the problem with the Second Amendment. There's probably five cases that have ever interpreted it. So we're having this debate now, which is a good debate. But the reality is,
I can't go buy a bazooka. I can't go buy a tank. I can't go buy a rocket launcher. You can disqualify categories of weapons.
And this, I'm not arguing with him. I'm just telling you that we've never really had a comprehensive debate on this. And I think the timing's right.
The mess in Washington isn't funny anymore. And yesterday and the day before were just colossal for the amount of news that's coming out. First question, how are the Democrats not able to make anything out of this positive for the Democrats, considering the fact that the clown car at the White House is stuffing more and more clowns in it while other clowns get out?
On the advice of counsel, I decline. No.
There we go.
You can tell white lies.
You're taking the Fifth on this?
Uh-huh.
I watched The Godfather the other night, so I'm, you know, the Fifth Amendment. No, look, I think it's hard to have a microphone when you don't have control of either House of Congress or the White House. Now, having said that, I do think Democrats' messaging has been horrible, and we need to be much better about it. And it can't just be anti-Trump, anti-Republican. There has to be an aspirational vision for the future. It doesn't have to be like this, folks. You know, this is America, something that aspires. You know, you don't appeal to Americans' guilt. You appeal to their greatness. And that's how you move this country forward. There's still a strong strain of American dream, and our party has to get back to talking about that.
Yeah, the rope-a-dope policy is not going to win anything.
No. It might win the thrill in Manila, but, you know.
And as a former prosecutor, is Jared Kushner going to jail?
It doesn't look good, and we were talking.
Yeah.
I don't know the facts. I'm not in the grand jury, but I would say this. Trying to put all the pieces together here when you have someone and people commit crimes when they're desperate, whose company or entities are going bankrupt, and they get some easy money in a way that's maybe not above board, he's going to have a lot of problems.
If you back this up, is there a possibility at least that we'll look back on this and historians will find out that the reason the train went off the tracks here is because you had someone that didn't expect to be the president, who suddenly became the president, who surrounded himself with people with no experience, the amateur hour reference that we've heard over and over again, who decided they would exploit the system as fast as they could, thinking they wouldn't get caught, and then all of them were rounded up by Sheriff Mueller? Isn't that in the world of possibilities?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is amateur hour. And there's a great, you know, one of the great presidential historians, political scientists, Richard Neustadt, his great line was the presidency is no place for amateurs. And you will get exposed, whether it's corruption or failure or being voted out of office. That, you know, we love in this moment of time to run as outsiders and people who are against Washington and don't know the levers of government. But it is no place for amateurs. And we're seeing it every day play out.
We're 19 days away from the election. What I said to Steve earlier this week, I would predict, I think the numbers will be up. I think we'll be out of the teens as far as voter turnout, but I would predict more
small
millennials.
Victories.
Yeah, more millennials, more younger people, I should say, and more women voting. Do you guys see that too?
I do. I agree. You know, we had a there was a nonpartisan election in Wisconsin last week. The Supreme Court candidate was the most the highest ranking thing on the ballot, and the turnout was up from 30% turnout higher than the previous comparable
30%
election.
Boost.
Yes, 30% on an election that really wasn't a lot at stake. You know, that's high profile. So I think these trends from Virginia and from New Jersey, from these special elections, from Wisconsin, all the trends point to that there is a lot more energy. And, you know, despite the cynicism of people saying it doesn't matter, people are sort of wanting to have their voices heard and coming out and voting.
You know, just it's not scientific, but it's anecdotal. I was talking to my 21-year-old who was raised celebrating Ronald Reagan's birthday every February 6th, who told me yesterday after watching the president and Marco Rubio's press conference on guns that she's voting for the Democrats.
Wow. Ooh. At 21.
Very at 21. Yeah. And that's the age for me when Ronald Reagan came in and promised a morning in America, not morning, that was the second time, but the shining city on the hill, and we can, this country's great, and it's a great place to be. So I think my party has a big problem with the young voters because I think we're out of touch.
The Democrats, can you do anything with that, or you want to take the fifth again?
No, I think...
Well, we got Bernie.
I think we have to get back to an aspirational message that we're all in this together, that it can't be divide and conquer, that it doesn't have to be like this. And I think an economic message that sort of brings people together and doesn't pit one group against the other is how we move forward.
It seems like there's a whole bunch of 18 to 24-year-olds going, anybody interested in me? Anybody interested in having me join you?
That's right.
We'll see you guys later on. Happy birthday, Patrick.
Yes, thank you.
Happy birthday.
18th birthday to Patrick Brady. Next year he'll be at New York University. And
you'll be broke.
Yes.
AL Media, Next Generation Strategies. Steve Cochran Show continues.
Hey, quickly, Lincoln Forum next Wednesday. All-star media panel.
Oh,
Cass,
yeah.
Eric Zorn, Mary Mitchell, and who am I forgetting? Kristen McQuarrie, moderated by young Ben Bradley from WGN. LincolnForum.org.
Not familiar with Ben, are you?
Not the other Ben Bradley.
I don't know who Ben is.
Channel
not the Washington Post.
You might see him today.
He's on at 4.
Ballotpedia.org. Ballotpedia.org. That's where you go get your sample voter ballot for wherever you live. And you'll be able to take that into the voting booth, and you can get a breakdown on every candidate you're interested in. And by the way, as you guys walk out the door, for people that go, I don't know anything about the judges, go to which website? You just Google judges ratings by what? The Illinois Bar? Chicago Bar Association rates the judges. It's like a book review section. So you go through that for Cook County or whatever county you're in, right? State one? Yeah. Yeah, but don't just vote yes, Irish. Oh, apostrophe. That one's for me.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
That's a busy day here at the Steve Cochran Show, but we must focus on the important things.
Priorities.
And that is Kristen Wiig is going to be in the new Wonder Woman.
Woo!
Apparently she's going to be, she's in talks right now to be the villain in the new Wonder Woman movie.
Won't we be waiting for something funny to come out of her mouth?
We would be. I think she probably would like us to think of her in a different way, but I can't stop, you know, thinking of... Like she's the target lady.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Is she? I've never met her. Is she? What is she like in person?
Very, very sweet. Very nice. Maybe even a little shy.
Hmm. But not, very easy to deal with.
Oh, very extremely easy to deal with. A little bit like shy, and like I've noticed with a lot of comedians, awkward in their own characters. They almost prefer being a different character.
Yeah, look, comedians are nuts. That's why I don't deal with them.
Well, that was, I don't want to say.
Complete lunatics. That's why I won't talk to them.
As you are also.
What?
A comedian.
What?
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hold on. Okay, now we got a weird situation, Andre, coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. You got the Oscars, and you got your Ryan Seacrest, who's going to be on the red carpet.
Yes. Yeah.
But in the middle of that, you got these accusations about whether or not he was a jerk and sexually inappropriate with people that work for him. Right. So what's going to happen here?
Is that a question for Andre? Or?
I don't know.
For you.
Yeah, for you, I would say, because I think it's odd. I don't want to see him amidst all these allegations.
I mean, but my point is, are the publicists even going to bring people over to him to talk?
Right.
That's what sent them into panic mode yesterday at the E! Network. Actually, at NBC Universal, that owns the E! Network, they're concerned about this whole thing. They say that Seacrest is going to be on the red carpet, that they are going to prearrange interviews for him with people who they know will be friendly to him and not surprise him with uncomfortable comments. If you'll remember, Deborah Messing on the red carpet,
yes,
during the Golden Globes,
yep,
I think?
She called out E.
She called out the E! Network,
yep,
for them firing one of their hosts. And they don't want something like that to happen on live television, where somebody calls out Ryan Seacrest for these allegations that are out. He's denied the allegations, but the allegations nonetheless are still out there. So apparently they're going to prearrange interviews. They're going to pre-record interviews to make sure nothing happens. But he's the show. I mean, he's the,
yeah, but you know what? I would
the
get
main
out,
guy.
I'd get out ahead of it. Too, Dean, though. I mean, especially now with Me Too and Time's Up, and you saw at the Golden Globes. I don't even know if they're all going to wear black this time around, but I just think this is, you know what, have them sit this one out.
Yeah.
Even though they are allegations at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he gets ratings from him.
He is going to be a distraction, and
yes,
you know, also, and I'm sure this came up in the meetings yesterday with NBC Universal and the E! Network, people are going to be tuning in like crazy to see,
yep,
what the deal is going to be. What's going to happen? Is he going to be there? You know, is anybody,
and waiting for the car crash, waiting for somebody to have an awkward moment.
Yeah, so I'm sure that they're, you know, not that I would ever say that a broadcast executive would, you know, take a subject like this and use it for their financial advantage, but that has to be part of the equation with this and why they've agreed to let Seacrest go.
How about this? How about an executive at E! Sets up Ryan Seacrest to get an awkward exchange while his own people have prepared him for this to happen and have a snappy comeback?
That could never happen. That's way too logical. This is my proposal. See what you think. That he's on the red carpet, but in a dunk tank.
Oh, that's good. And people get to throw stuff.
If they want to.
Yeah.
If they can either be interviewed by him, or if they want, they can throw a baseball at the dunk tank and dunk him in the water.
You might have heard that Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, and I are involved in a new project. What's our new project?
The new project that you three are involved in are a new movie,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
with Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I know you love the Quentin Tarantino films, by the way.
Sure,
he
sure.
Massacres you in every movie.
I'm the dead guy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the first dead guy.
You remember in Kill Bill, Steve had the big role of guy without an eyeball.
That was me.
This time it's going to be a movie about the cheery subject of the Manson family murders.
Oh, fantastic.
Back in 1969.
Who's playing Manson?
Well, we don't know who exactly is going to be who just
not it.
Yet.
That's not you.
I called it.
Role.
Not it.
Okay. All right. Done. DiCaprio is going to have to take a different role in this movie. Brad Pitt, we know, is going to be playing a Hollywood stuntman. DiCaprio is going to play an aging actor who lives next door to Sharon Tate.
Oh, okay. Interesting little bizarre twist. There.
That leaves the main role.
Yeah.
As
Chuck.
Chucky. Chucky. Chucky M. Man,
yeah.
for the Stever.
Who would look like Charles Manson?
Okay, how about
like
this?
Appearance-wise, like if he grew the hair out and the beard.
James Franco.
Yeah.
You could mess him up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They have to look young enough, too.
Beard-wise.
Yeah. I'm going to say
crazy-wise.
Christian Bale.
Oh, that's another one.
Both
yeah.
are good.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale's probably crazier.
Yes.
Or maybe who would be a good later years Charles Manson, like
Geraldo Rivera.
John Voight or something.
Oh, yeah, John Voight.
Jack
Nick
Nicholson.
Nolte.
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte.
Nicholson.
There you go.
All right.
It looks good with the swastika on there.
Oh, thing.
And we want to come back and do the Oscars, but you got to tell me the Keith Richards story.
Keith Richards was interviewed in the Wall Street Journal, because why wouldn't he be?
Yep. I get all my financial advice from Keith Richards.
That's right. He made a comment about his pal Mick Jagger, saying that Jagger should get a vasectomy because he now has 8 children from different relationships. Here's his exact quote, and me trying a Keith Richards accent.
Okay.
Mick's a randy old bastard. It's time for the snip. You can't be a father at that age, those poor kids.
I see nothing wrong with that quote.
Sound like nothing. Bob Cratchit.
Yeah, well, Bob Cratchit and Keith Richards are hard to distinguish.
Right.
I see nothing wrong with that quote. Was Mick upset?
I don't. There's no indication that Mick was upset or even had heard about it in any way. But apparently Keith felt badly about it, issued a statement of apology, and said that he also spoke to Jagger in person.
And maybe the most sensible thing Keith Richards has ever said.
Yes.
It may be and the coherent. Most sensible thing I've ever said.
Yeah, she's right. It's Cratchit.
I sound more like Winston Churchill.
I was going to say, or Sharon Osbourne, maybe.
All right, it's 8:20. Dean's back with his Oscar predictions and how you can get involved in the contest still at Channel 9.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
Back to Dean at Channel 9 there in the newsroom. I don't know if you're going to be around today for very long, but we're going to come over to TV for the 11 o'clock news.
Oh, what are you promoting?
Make America Vote Again.
Very nice.
Trying to get people to vote in the primary.
I also do a segment in the 11 o'clock hour.
Well, let's do it together.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
What? How about this? I just walk on, sit next to you, and you don't explain it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting there, kind of looking around.
That would be good.
So you just do the segment, I'm sitting there, and then who anchors?
It's Steve Sanders and Dina Bear.
So if Steve or Dina say, can't help but notice you're with somebody, you go, what are you talking about? I don't have anybody with me.
I don't see anybody.
I don't see anybody. What are you talking about? Well, thank you. Thank you. Oh. Apparently the people there approve of my idea.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Very responsive here.
Let's do this. Should I take this call? What's this call on line one?
Oh, no.
What is this call, Joe? Is this a knucklehead?
I'm going to let him describe it.
Okay, stand by. Get ready to bleep this. I have no idea what you're after, sir. Hello.
Hello. Hello, it's Dean here.
Who is this?
Is this Keith?
Oh, this is the ghost of the future dead Mel Gibson.
Wow. The future dead ghost.
The future dead ghost of Mel Gibson. Did you want to say anything to Dean?
I'm just angry. I'm angry because Dean hasn't mentioned that I haven't been nominated for an Oscar in years. Years.
That's very true.
All right, we'll get to that. Stand by, ghost of future dead Mel Gibson. Tough booking. I didn't notice that. Is Mel Gibson Scottish now? What
I don't
was
know.
That accent?
Sounds like Bob Dylan a little bit.
Listen, do two things. Let Homeland Security know where that guy is and tell him to call anytime he wants. All right, Oscars.
Give him my home phone number. That would be fine.
That'd be great. Oscars, Best Supporting Actress.
The nominees, or do you want my picks?
Let's go to the picks, because this one's a no-brainer.
You know, really, the major acting awards are all pretty slam dunk. For Best Supporting Actress, I am predicting, and you pretty much, I mean, just about everybody is predicting, Allison Janney from I, Tonya.
She was so good, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculously good in that movie. But, you know, so was Laurie Metcalf. The other performances were always good. There is a slight chance that Laurie Metcalf could pull an upset. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this one's going to be not only for her performance in I, Tonya, but Allison Janney's been in so many good movies, has a tremendous body of work. This is going to be one of those thank you for your great career kind of awards.
Best Supporting Actor.
Best Supporting Actor, also slam dunk for Sam Rockwell in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. He was fantastic.
No chance Woody Harrelson
stole the movie. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this is Sam Rockwell's this year. I guess there's a very, very, very slight chance, but all the buzz, all the momentum, all the talk in Hollywood is about Sam Rockwell. Not to mention that he's won every single award that's come along during the award season so far has gone to him. So I'm picking Rockwell to win Best Supporting Actor.
Best Actress
is going to be, I believe, Frances McDormand from Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
And as I said to Nick earlier, I'm looking very forward to this because I want another crazy acceptance speech from her.
Oh, it will be. Yeah, it will be. She's famous for her crazy acceptance speeches. If I was the person on the bleep button that night, I would be extra, extra ready.
Just sit on it.
For whatever is going to happen. She does not hold back. It's part of the reason that I want her to win so badly with this. But I think she turned in, you know, you've got a Meryl Streep in there. If Meryl Streep wins, it'll be her fourth time. It's her 21st nomination. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
You've got Saoirse Ronan. You've got, you know, all kinds of fantastic performances in that category. I think this one is Frances McDormand's.
Is the best actor the ghost of dead Mel Gibson?
It is not.
It is not?
No, Mel Gibson really wasn't in anything. Well, he was in that that dad movie.
Yeah, Daddy's he wasn't nominated for that?
Yeah, oddly, that movie got zero nominations.
It's odd.
This year.
Strange.
He was nominated last year for Best Director. It wasn't that long ago for Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah. No nominations for the future dead ghost of Mel Gibson.
It's an outrage.
At all this year. But I am picking Guillermo del Toro to win as Best Director.
What about Best Actor?
Best Actor, I believe, is going to go to Mr. Gary Oldman.
Yeah, Gary Oldman. There you go.
Gary Oldman from the Winston Churchill
movie. And I agree
with
you on Guillermo del Toro.
I love that Shape of Water movie. A lot of people think it's so weird.
It is weird.
I think it is weird, but it's such a beautiful, creative love story. This is the director's influence of taking this blank canvas and putting the colors where they're supposed to be to creatively tell a story that's been told over and over and over of unconditional love. I think Guillermo del Toro's best movie. I think he's going to be rewarded.
I don't know how you do a sequel to it.
Shape of Water.
Do they have kids?
They could do other.
They move to the suburbs. They get in a cul-de-sac.
Other liquids. They could.
You do know this? They'd have a pool. They'd absolutely have a pool.
The Shape of Beer.
Shape of Air, where you can't see who she's in love with, but she's in love with them.
Yeah.
All right,
and creative mind.
That's me. And Best Picture.
Tomorrow, I'm going to give Best Picture.
Oh, we're going to save that for tomorrow.
I'm saving that for tomorrow.
All right, give me one thing that's going to surprise you Sunday night.
One thing that will surprise me.
You think Kimmel will be good? I think he's going to be really good.
I don't think that'll be a surprise if Kimmel is fantastic. I think there will be a surprising lack of political stuff going on with the show. I think that they're going to pretty much want to keep to the events of the night, the awards. There might be a little smattering of, you know, gun talk. They'll probably, if anything, there'll be, you know, gun talk more than anything
else.
That's
true. That's true.
But I don't think that there's going to be a lot of anti-Trump, you know, stuff that you might expect there to be at an award show.
I think this is possible. I haven't heard anything, but I think this is possible. I think some of the kids from Parkland, Florida, may be in attendance for some sort of special recognition. I also hope they're not, because for those on the far right who are fighting against it, that'll be easy for them to go, oh, they're all Hollywood paid-for actors and actresses.
Right.
So I hope it doesn't happen, but I think it may.
Maybe we'll be guests in the audience.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Maybe just be there to watch the Academy Awards. Something like that. I mean, George Clooney and many other stars are helping to, you know, fund the march that will take place. So it's not a surprise that people are for them and are speaking so eloquently about these kids who have spoken so eloquently about what they went through and what their desires are.
Yeah, they've been brilliant. 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 And they're going to try to get a bigger stage to get all the people that have left the Trump White House for a special recognition as well.
That would be great. That would be a great set of presenters, wouldn't
There's
it?
500 of them now.
You get the Mooch. You get the Spicer. Spice.
The whole picks.
Kellyanne.
Yeah, you get like three or four. Is Kellyanne out? I thought Kellyanne was
Kellyanne's
out,
still there, but
she's been,
got one heel in the doorway.
Yeah, she's pretty muzzled.
She's way under the radar.
I think that would be fantastic to have some of those, like, you know, give best art direction. Or best makeup or something.
All right, tomorrow, Best Picture. Thanks.
See ya.
Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Shane, you got three pairs. Yeah.
You can't have three pairs. You can't have six cards in a five-card game.
Josh.
Maybe one was
wrong. Josh, me. I'm not the guy with
Dallas. Dallas. Dallas.
The cards that I was supposed
all
to.
Okay.
Reds.
Yeah.
What up, dog?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And those are the gamblers that can see. It's unbelievable. 8:43, we have enjoyed our relationship with the Chicago Lighthouse and enjoyed making sure that what I consider to be one of the best-kept secrets in Chicago that never should be isn't a secret anymore. We got the clocks that are made.
I have two of them. I hung my clocks already. They're fantastic.
We had a wonderful explanation how visually impaired folks make clocks. Because I was, you know, you figure you get a clock. Well, how do they know where the numbers go? How do they know where the hands go? How do they know where the stuff goes?
Uh-huh.
Turns out they're better at it than all of us. No big surprise there. There's a big fundraiser coming up that we want to promote as well. Gary Rich is here. Are you chairman of the board, Gary?
I am. Thank
you. Look at you, big shot. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks for having us.
Well, we love the Chicago Lighthouse. It's not just clocks, though. What's the majority of the work?
We actually got into the customer service call center business about 6 years ago. We have over 1,000 employees, 30% of which are blind, visually impaired, veterans, and disabled individuals. So we're quite proud of that.
Does that include Illinois transportation, like tollway stuff?
Yes. If you call a tollway, we're actually the ones answering the phone. University of Illinois Medical Center, scheduling, things of that nature. We're the people. Cook County, we actually are doing the work for them also.
It amazed me, Andre. I think we talked about this off the air as well. Last time you guys were in, we were talking about the unemployment rate for visually impaired folks. It's crazy high.
70%.
70. Wow. 70. So in other words, somebody's got to understand that these are incredibly skilled people who just have an extra speed bump. Let's put them to work.
Exactly. And we have adaptive technology. I mean, the people in the call center that are blind or visually impaired, we have adaptive technology that allows them to do the job just as well as, or sure, in fact, some cases better than a sighted person.
Channel 9 did a nice piece, too, on the making of the clocks, because we've talked about this for quite some time now, but to actually see the process is unbelievable. And your chief clockmaker, I forget his name, he cranks those clocks out faster than I think probably anybody could put something together.
They're amazing. You know, it's the old story. If you give people the opportunity, they shine.
Yeah, and they're at Target now, too. You can buy the clocks at Target.
We have a number of clocks in Target currently, and we're about to go online nationally with them shortly.
Is that right?
They were so successful. Yeah. The most successful clocks were the Chicago CTA routes and the Chicago flag. Can you believe that?
Those are the two I have, yeah.
Makes total sense.
Great.
You've got a big event coming up tonight.
Tonight.
All right. Now, this seems ripe for trouble with you and me, because if I'm sitting down and, I'm trying to raise money, raising the stakes for Vision, and I'm playing poker, it seems like it's going to be nothing but trouble. Am I going to have a problem?
Not at all. We actually
did. I mention I'm not a good poker player.
Well, neither am I. That's why we started the event, so I could donate money to the organization. Uh-huh. I mean, all the funds raised obviously go to support our 29 different programs and services we offer for preschool children through senior programs. But if you have not a non-experienced Texas Hold'em player, which is our poker part of it, not a problem. We actually have a training class at 6:30. Where you can learn how to play. It's not very difficult at all.
You have to flop in the river, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Listen to you with your card.
You sound like you've played. I don't know.
I know. I just saw Molly, whatever that movie was, and they were talking like that. Yeah. So, you know.
With your mirrored sunglasses.
Yeah, charitable casino games, Texas Hold'em tournament, as you mentioned, premium cocktails. Gibson's making dinner?
Yes. And desserts. Don't forget desserts. That's my personal favorite.
How about that? Great.
Don't tell my wife, though.
And $20,000. Yeah, you look like you're doing just fine. $20,000 in prizes. How about this? Grand prize is a $10,000 seat at the World Series of Poker main event.
Yes. In Vegas, yes. And if for some reason you can't make it in Vegas, you know, we can substitute something.
So this is a real tournament.
It is. People come from, we have people from California, Texas coming in, Michigan, as well as the local area.
Carm, do you any good at poker?
Mark Carms. Not bad, Steve. I like to get
play
in there
a little
for
Texas
sure.
Hold'em?
A little Texas Hold'em.
You
sure.
Flop in your river?
Sometimes you got to gamble.
Yeah.
It's part of the fun.
So this would be perfect for you.
Yes. I'm all in.
And it happens tonight where?
It's at Gibson's on Rush Street. Doors open at 5:30. The cards start to fly at 7 o'clock.
It's pretty cool.
Do you still accept volunteers, too, at the center for everything? But I know many years ago we would do some reading, you know, like the for the audio books.
We still have that program on Chris Radio, absolutely. Although the technology is changing,
yeah, now
as you can imagine.
Computer, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
What's the best way to help if they can't make it tonight or just in general, year round?
In general, you can go on to our website, www.chicagolighthouse.org. If you want to volunteer, if you need our services, you know, if you can't afford them, they're provided free of cost. You know, we serve over 67,000 individuals each year. You can go online, you can donate, you can see if you want to volunteer, and you see the kind of programs we have available to help you and your family.
And it's important that you spread the word in your own network to tell people about this as well. Don't assume they know. ChicagoLighthouse.org for all things related to it. And tonight, raising the stakes for Vision, poker and casino night. Somebody's going to get a shot in Vegas and $20,000 in prizes. Nicely done by you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
No wonder you're the big shot. great to see you. You're welcome here anytime.
Thanks for having us.
On 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show continues. In the 9 o'clock hour, Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas on your property taxes, whether or not what you paid in advance is going to count. And then David Hochberg there trying to save you some money, speaking of money. There were some new Illinois gun laws passed. Bump stocks banned yesterday, raising the age on assault-style weapons as far as purchase goes. That's also been passed, even though most of those are banned here in the state. But nothing on the Paul Bauer Act, so we'll keep an eye on that as things go on. It's hard to believe there could be any more news out of the White House today, but, you know, why wouldn't there be? Every time you say it couldn't possibly happen, it happens. There's a story that has nothing to do with the news, and I'd like a break from the news. Would you like a break from the news?
Yes.
Yes.
15 things that could be in your house that are worth a whole bunch of money.
Good.
You might not even realize how rich you are. Any David Bowie fans in the house?
I like David Bowie.
If you have a vinyl copy of David Bowie's Diamond Dogs album from 1974.
Nope.
One sold in 2003 for $3,550. And I'm guessing in 1974, that album, Mary Vandeveld, what would an album have sold for in 74? $5 maybe? $3?
I think we paid like that much, didn't we?
Yeah,
or five,
three, four, five
or so?
Bucks. Yeah, maybe five. Five probably makes sense.
Could have been.
How about retro video games? Were you a video game kid?
Yes, very much so. We got Intellivision on the...
We had Intellivision, too.
How about Super Mario RPG?
Enjoyed it, but not... Okay, go ahead.
Mega Man X3.
Nope.
Harvest Moon.
Can't say.
Chromo Trigger.
Mm-mm.
Atari?
No, we used to trade them all in, didn't we?
Is there a Pac-Man going on here?
PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah, PlayStation 4.
Anyway, these all vary in value between $300, or I should say $400 and $600. But you can't get bids as high as $1,000.
No ColecoVision?
No, but you can check with Bill Leff on all of these because he's got nothing but toys in his life.
Yeah, I'm a hoarder.
And he's never unwrapped them either.
Yeah, well, that's the key to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Right, it's got to be pristine.
I used to have all the Star Wars toys, but we would take them out of the box and actually play with them.
And then chew on them.
It's bad, yeah.
We wouldn't chew on them. We just played with them.
I bet you chew.
Now they're not. No, but you'd always lose the guns and the teeny little props that came with them.
I bet we'd find DNA on some of your Star Wars characters.
Maybe.
Polly Pocket?
No.
Polly Pocket.
Don't know what that is.
Polly Pocket. My daughter had a lot of Polly Pockets.
I don't even know what that is.
The Polly Pocket was a heart-shaped container that would open up and be a dollhouse.
That's probably why I didn't have one.
And they were quite little.
Yeah,
very tiny, little.
Didn't have a heart-shaped dollhouse.
Tiny little dolls.
A lot of edibles for children. And
Peter Pan Polly Pocket. $300.
I don't even remember a Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Hoarders out there about to get rich.
Vintage comics, many that inspire today's movies and TV shows. No surprise that vintage comics are worth a lot of money. One of those would be the Black Panther series from the 70s. It turned into the movie. Mm-hmm. So you can make a bunch of money off that. How about vintage advertising signs? Like your grandfather got a rusty old Coca-Cola sign on the barn?
I love that stuff.
I have some of that. Some Coca-Cola signs.
Those antique stores on Belmont. Like an old Good Time Antiques.
Yeah.
I love those places.
Those are super cool.
$200 to $600 for the signs. Boy Scout memorabilia. Badges and medals that you won. One auction of old Boy Scout memorabilia went for $250, but there are batches all around $100 just for your old patches.
That's pretty cool.
They must be really old patches.
Pokemon cards.
Oh, my son has a whole folder.
All right, get ready for this. If you have the holograph Charizard,
I'm writing this down.
$12,000.
I have 10 of those.
What? The holograph what?
The holograph Charizard.
See you later, Steve.
Charizard.
You have those cards?
10 of them, yes.
You have Pokemon?
The common spelling of Charizard, yes.
Carmen's got those.
What is it, Charizard?
Charizard?
Charizard, I'm being told by the people in the people that are young enough to know that they played with them. Joe, were you a Pokemon guy or is it just Bennett?
Yeah, I played a little bit of Pokemon growing up.
So it's Charizard.
Yeah, it's a hard ch.
Okay, so Charizard.
Like yep. A churro.
Okay, do you have a Charizard? Because if you do, it's $12,000.
All right, later.
There he goes.
Remember when the state quarters were a big deal?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, if you have a Kansas state quarter, some of those had its motto accidentally altered from "In God We Trust" to "In God We Rust."
Really?
If you have an "In God We Rust" quarter, $100 a piece. So your quarter's worth $100. It's
pretty good
rate.
Good.
My mother-in-law bought the kids all the state quarters.
Check and see if there's a mistake.
Box of them. Oh yeah.
Yeah. China sets. You know, your wedding china, your parents' wedding china, your grandparents' wedding china. Mm-hmm. Big hot auction item now on eBay in particular. There's also an EBTH site. I don't know what that is. But anyway, thousands of dollars in value for your mom's old china.
Wow. So if you have any of this stuff, should you take it to eBay?
Yeah. Well, you could take it to a dealer as well. But,
collector.
You know, eBay's got some security involved in it. You know, and, you know, they hold your money in escrow and all that, or hold your item in escrow until the money clears. The original Kenner Star Wars figures.
I have these.
Oh, Andrea, here we go.
I do, but I took them out of the box.
A 1978 Luke Skywalker with a double telescoping lightsaber sold for $25,000.
Wow. What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you I have a couple of little Luke Skywalker still.
Hayden Christensen Anakin Skywalkers, $3,000.
Okay, yeah, I didn't start. I was too old.
The original Millennium Falcon, $3,000, but it's got to be in a box.
Wait, that thing was sweet.
Can I tell you, I had the Millennium Falcon. It was awesome. I had the TIE Fighter and the X-Wing Fighter, and my mom sold them all in a garage sale, I think, for like $1 a piece.
Good job, Mom.
I know. Love you, Mom.
And I don't have time to get through the rest of these. We'll post this story, though, so you can see it itself. But if you've got an old typewriter, Tom Hanks wrote a book about old typewriters recently. An old typewriter can be worth as much as $650, even if it doesn't work.
Oh.
Michael Jordan boxers, anything like that in there, Steve?
Michael Jordan's underpants are not here. CLTV joins us next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We had a rocking start to the program today. Chuck Todd, we had a bunch of politics to discuss. We had your Make America Vote Again. It's all up on podcasts. Go to WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app. Get your podcast for any part of the program that you miss. And listen there. You're also on TuneIn. I mean, wherever you get podcasts. The Podcast Hut. Just Podcast. Podcasts are us. Yeah, all
I knew
those.
It was going.
Yeah. Maria Pappas is standing by, Cook County Treasurer, and today is Property Tax Day. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. Thank you. We just came up with something really new. I'm going to give it quickly to your listening audience. Go to CookCountyTreasurer.com. In the middle of that site is a small purple box. It says your property tax overview. So we are making one-stop shopping possible for people. You no longer have to have your 14-digit PIN number. Just punch in your address, and a number of things are going to show up for you.
Yeah, it's all right there.
Yeah, it's all right there. So the following jumps up. This is newly programmed. Whether or not your taxes are paid and how much you owe, you can also punch a small button in that box, which tells you if your property might be going to tax sale in the previous year. You can download, just as you would an online boarding pass for an airline, you can download your bill. You can download either your August bill or your current March bill. And you can take that bill to my office, to Chase, to a community bank and pay, or you can sit from your home and pay online or by credit card. Next thing, you have, for the first time here in one place, 4 years going back from 2013 to 2016. This is the most important thing for your listeners. Whether or not you got any of the following exemptions on your property, which would reduce the amount of your bill: your homeowner's exemption, senior citizen exemption, senior citizen freeze, returning vet exemption, disabled person exemption, disabled vet exemption. The issue at the county is the following. We know that seniors who need to apply every year for their exemptions, if they don't reapply, they lose them.
Right.
So we've got about 25,000 seniors out there that aldermen, assessors, et cetera, are searching for to find out whether or not they've got their exemptions. So you can put in your parents or any elderly person you know information in the computer, and it will tell you whether or not they got the exemption. If they didn't, Steve, they can punch a button, and they will get the form that they need to do that.
And it's a perfect example of how you can help older folks in your life who aren't so computer savvy or internet happy.
Yeah, but you know what? Assume that you don't have a computer. Assume that someone's listening who does not have a computer. Here's what we have done for you. You can call 312-443-5100. You can put in that 14-digit number, which is at the top of your bill or on your deed, and the voice at the other end of the phone tells you you paid, you didn't pay, you got an exemption, you didn't get an exemption. You go into further prompts, it tells you how to get the information. Mm-hmm. So what's really interesting about this, the largest owners of property in Cook County are Polish. So this system, this phone system, is up in Polish, English, and Spanish. One more thing.
I'm trying to figure out what you didn't cover here. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, this is really interesting. Now, you're going to be shocked at this. When we redid this website, there are 126 spoken languages in the county of Cook. When we redid this website, in the bottom left-hand corner, you can punch a button, and the website will translate into any of 106 languages.
Wow.
Are you ready? 400,000 times, people have downloaded the information in a foreign language.
We should do a game on the air to see if we can find a language that's not covered.
Right.
Well, I'll come back on. I'll show you all the languages.
How
I have a list
that?
Of every time somebody downloads and in which language.
Maria, and I voice the Greek ones, right, Maria?
Yeah, we've got the Greek ones. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm like, seriously, these people all speak English. Why are they downloading in Greek? But the fact of the matter is, this system, this property tax system, is so exorbitantly complicated that people want to get it in whatever it is, the language that they grew up with.
Sure, of course.
And so they do. We had the Bulgarian consulate in the office yesterday. So he said, you know, I'm working closely with Bulgaria, and we're trying to do, you know, all sorts of technological things. So I punched the website. The whole thing flops up in Bulgarian. I thought the guy was going to go into cardiac arrest. And then I said to him, now let me tell you something. Your community has downloaded 12,000 times. He said, you got to be kidding. I said, no. So
what are you doing in my office?
Yeah, what are you doing in here? So I don't need translators anymore. But here's what's also happening. What we learned from December, when we got $758 million in that 126,000 taxpayers paid to get that prepayment credit,
right,
because of the change in the federal government, this is what's interesting. 80,000 direct debited their account, and 90,000 total paid by credit card. 90,000 of the 126,000, Steve, no longer want to talk to me, get a piece of mail, deal with a stamp, go to Chase, come to my office. We are seeing that people are going online at night after 9, right before they go to sleep.
On their schedule.
on their schedule, direct debiting their account. But it's kind of interesting because when I started, I had 386,000 people winding around the county building to pay.
Sure.
On a yearly basis, only 26,000 people come in now to pay.
Yeah, that number is going to get smaller every year. Now, you mentioned JPMorgan Chase. There's an important piece of this. There was a thought that there would be an extension until midnight tomorrow to take care of it, but that's no longer the case, right?
It's no longer the case. We sent out a release, and 2 hours later, their disaster recovery system brought everything up. We emailed everybody who's trying to pay, said it's okay to pay, so we're good to go.
All right. Now, what about prepaying like so many of us did before the new year? Have you heard any instruction from the IRS that we're going to be good there?
I haven't heard anything. My understanding from all the accountants that I've talked to have told me that it's good to go. There's one other thing, and the reason that you're good to go is because I gave you an exact amount on your bill.
Right.
So other counties, this is an interesting thing, other counties were letting people pay beyond the amount of their bill. We had 112 checks that we sent back to people because if the bill was seven, they paid 12 to see if they could get extra. We said, no. We had to send money back to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's not something that the county is generally accused of.
So last thing here, because nobody wants to talk to anybody more anymore, we in this industry, we are now at 37,000. We are at 37,000 people who have come in online and instructed our office never to send them another bill. It goes directly to their email account.
Well, there you go. There you digital. Go. Digital,
so
baby.
The next time that property taxes will be due after today's deadline will be August 1st.
Right.
So on or around the end of May, beginning of June, I get a file from the assessor, the state, the clerk, which says, these are the numbers, Pappas. So I start running numbers. I start printing bills. Finally, by July 1st, you get a bill. And that August bill is always the bill that has a bump in it. What I'm doing this year is, as soon as I get the file, your bill is going to be viewable online. You're going to be able to know 30 days earlier than usual what the bump is and what you owe.
Then you can plan for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can plan for it because people are going back to school and kids and whatever and whatnot. So that's sort of the news.
There's a lot of it, but I'm telling you, as usual, Maria Pappas' office has got it going on. And I don't know who your IT people are, but buy them pizza today.
Yeah, it's a good site.
You know what happened? There's 70 people left, Steve, and of the 70 left, 35 are either full-time programming or project managers.
How about that?
So all those guys that helped me get that bill up in less than 2 weeks, that prepayment bill, and this new website, I treat them good. They're all getting bonused.
Okay, Maria, non-property tax question for you. I'm sure this is the question that you get after property taxes all the time. Will you be twirling in the St. Patrick's Day parade this year?
You know what? I twirl in every parade. I love my baton. I twirl in every
parade. I know people look forward to you.
Right.
Yeah, unless there's only one way I won't twirl, and that is if it's raining. And if it's raining, then you can't catch it. You're dropping it. You look like an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
But,
no, there'll be none of that.
I love to twirl. You know, I'm an athlete at heart, you know, so I love to go out and do kind of quirky things.
We'll see if the IT department can follow her, the IT twirlers.
The IT department, let me tell you something, Steve. This is, like, really interesting. Each of these guys wanted three screens. So each person in the IT department has a minimum of three screens. I used to walk into my office, good morning, treasurer, good morning, good morning, good morning. I walk into that IT department, when I tell you, nobody speaks to me.
Yeah, they don't see you. Like, they don't even know you're there.
Yeah, they don't care. It's they don't care if I'm there. I have to call a meeting to get them away from these computers in the program to talk to me. I mean, they just look at these three screens all day long. So my life has dramatically changed because now I go to my office. There's only 35 people who say hello. The other 35 just
don't
even look up.
They don't know.
They don't get the job done.
That's the important thing. Yeah. Appreciate all the information as always. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. Maria Pappas. I wish she had some energy.
I know. It's the Greek in her.
So the twirler, that goes back to middle school,
Yeah, I remember.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she's done it forever. And one of the first parades I covered, 20 years ago, she was twirling, and everybody would go up to her and wanted to talk about baton twirling.
She's twirling
nice.
Every parade. Speaking of the Greeks, what are you doing tonight?
Oh, tonight we have the trial of Megacles at the Art Institute, sponsored by the Hellenic Museum, the National Hellenic Museum in Greektown. And we're going to be there with our friends Patrick Collins, Patrick Fitzgerald, Tinos Delamantis. Everyone's going to be out there.
And you're the Anna moderator.
Anna Devlantis is going to be on the jury. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a moderator. The moderator.
Moderator meaning you're going to keep things rolling.
I'm going to keep it rolling. Yeah. Got to be on time and on schedule.
It's like the MC without the turntables.
Right. So when all the judges, Judge Koukouras,
where my DJ down, at?
When they start going long, I'll just start hitting the gavel down.
Yeah. Yeah, stop it.
Bring that back to work with me.
So anyway, that's Andrea's night tonight.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Nine 29. Mark Carman's here. We barely had time to say hello to you this morning. Very busy morning.
Steve, you do you, baby. I'm here.
Right. I mean, you'll be here tomorrow.
I'll be here tomorrow.
All right, let's catch up on the White Sox for a minute here before we jump to the headlines.
Yeah, yeah.
This week there was a big meeting where you and Adam Hogue and Andy Mazur will be handing the pre and the post game, got together with the White Sox. Sounds like it went very well. Are you excited about the upcoming season?
I'm extremely excited, and it was a great meeting. Great to, you know, Bob Grimm, Brooks Boyer, Andy, Adam, myself, Dave Bennett, Todd Manley, Stephanie.
So you and Adam will split the post game. How's this going to work?
Me and Adam are splitting the post game, and
will you ever work together?
I think I might just like sit on his lap a couple times because I'll miss being there. But but in general, I think it'll be Adam. You know, will be there, and then right now I'm doing a little bit more of the weekends, the way we split it up, at least for the first month, and he's doing a little bit more weekdays, although I have some of those as well.
Big injury for the Sox this week?
Jake Berger, no bueno, torn left Achilles tendon running to first, which is always my hot take in baseball, Steve. Long season, don't try. Don't need to run full out. Just a nice jog to first, I'm good.
You mean in the preseason?
I actually mean in the regular season too.
You gotta run. You gotta run the regular season.
Okay, whatever.
Regular season, you gotta run.
If you're, let's say you're the best guy on the team.
Doesn't matter. You gotta run. You're the best guy on the team because you run. This used to drive me nuts about Aramis Ramirez. I got in maybe two arguments with Ron Santo in my life, and one of them was over Aramis Ramirez, because remember Aramis used to do that thing where he'd I think the technical term is half-ass it to first base.
Oh, yeah.
And it drove me nuts. And I told Aramis at one point on one of these Cubs trips, we were down at Disney World, and I told him privately, I said, man, you could own this town. This is the early 2000s. I said, you could own this town if you hustled. You got all the skills. Yeah. I said, you'd be a rock star.
What'd he say?
He goes, I run as fast as I want to.
Yeah, I bet he did.
That's an exact quote.
But
so my point is, I understand where you're coming from. But if you're not going to risk an injury in the first 10 days, then why risk it at all?
Well, okay. Let me ask you this.
Bad habits.
You're an outfielder.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You want him crashing into the wall? You want?
Yeah, I want all my guys going full out. So injuries are part of the game. You got to try to win every game. You got to try to, but not crazy. Not taking chances you don't need to take, but you need to hustle on every play.
Right. Okay. But then that taking chances that you don't need to take gets real gray.
I don't think so. Who's the Washington Nationals center fielder?
Adam Eaton.
No, the other guy.
Michael Taylor?
The right fielder. The kid.
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper takes chances he doesn't need to take. Bryce Harper runs into walls. Bryce Harper does the things that are ESPN highlight film things, Showtime things that you don't need to do. Anybody at the major league level knows that you don't need to risk killing yourself, but you do need to hustle on every play.
I'm okay with a nice... Okay, ground ball to second base. You're going to be out 98% of the time. You want him going full out? Blow a hamstring?
I do. I don't want to blow a hamstring.
If you blow a hamstring running to first base, you weren't ready to play.
That's true, too. No, yes. You're absolutely right about that. Like, you should be going 100% before the game as far as getting yourself ready. Yeah. I agree with all that.
What do you guys think of diving? I like the diving catches in the outfield. Nothing makes me angrier as if...
Well, there's a perfect example. Diving catches in the outfield are great.
Yeah.
Diving to first base in a head-first slide is idiotic.
I completely agree. But if you're a center fielder and you take a few steps back so the ball bounces, that drives me crazy.
If you know how to dive, okay. But
play hard.
If you're not, I love, yes, of course, but be smart too.
But you're an NBA guy. Do you like when the NBA guys don't hustle? Which, by the way, is 75% of the NBA, 85% of the time.
Okay, so it's just wrong that the NBA gets dogged for that. And do I think that an NBA guy should be diving into the front row to save a ball that's going out of bounds? No, I don't. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt someone. Not necessary.
What are you, a mom?
It's 82 games. You're getting their ping.
But I don't understand the length of the season argument.
Because if you, one game, you it's not worth it. One game,
the guy, what if you lose the at the end of the season, you lose the division or the playoffs by a game?
Who cares? You get, so you don't have home court or whatever.
No, you're out of the playoffs by a game.
So then you sucked and you were a 9 seed, or you were going to get worked in the first round anyway.
I think you're asking for trouble, Mister.
Well, maybe I am, but yeah. I work hard, but work smart. Keep yourself on the field.
Encourage these young White Sox players to run hard.
Yes.
I will be out there doing that for you, Steve.
All right, thanks.
Yes, no problem.
Headlines next, 720 WGN and CLTV.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We're having a cameo.
Guess what to do?
Wave your hands in the air like you don't care. They don't write them like this anymore. Do your dance. Do your dance. Do your dance. Quick, mama.
Ooh, your cameo.
You helped out with these lyrics, didn't you, Steve?
Hippest old man in America right here. 9:47, David Hochberg is here, speaking of old. Good morning, Mr. Hochberg.
Good morning. I appreciate that. Warm welcome. Thank you for having me.
Have you had 50 yet? Are you 50?
I am 51, officially.
Yeah.
In 51 and almost a quarter.
I'm going to be 57 on March 14th.
You don't look a day...
older than 60?
Yeah, see, I was going to say 68, but you want to say 60? I'll give you 60.
Smacky if I could reach you. David Hochberg does a wonderful job with Team Hochberg of making sure that you don't get fleeced. Take it to the cleaners. Taken advantage of, but only if you call the Team Hochberg people. You can't swing by your house. That's your part of the action. And, of course, you follow through and you get him the numbers he needs, and the Team Hochberg people will tell you what they can do for you, and they'll be honest about it. There's a real lack of honesty in the financial world.
There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of misleading. I heard an ad driving in this morning that, call me now, refinance, and skip 2 mortgage payments. And I literally wanted to reach through the radio and grab this guy by the throat and smack him in the head, because it's a lie. You never skip a mortgage payment.
Well, you do if you want a zero credit rating.
Well, it's not so much that. What you're doing is you're doing a cash out transaction, and you're taking the money out of your house, which is covering 2 months worth of mortgage payments. You never skip a payment. Banks don't make billions of dollars a quarter by allowing homeowners to skip mortgage payments.
But am I not right about this? The missing a mortgage payment, even paying it late by a day, is the fastest way to ruin your credit rating.
Paying it past the 15th day.
That's what I mean.
Paying it on the first day of the following month that it's due. That is the fastest way to get kicked right in the teeth and have your credit blown up. If you pay it after the 15th of the month, we just left February, right? So if your mortgage payment was due on the 15th and you paid it on the 16th with the late fee, you're still on time. If you pay it today, you're whammo. Okay,
yeah, then you got problems.
Then you got problems because you're March 1st, right? It's my daughter's birthday. Happy birthday, Lindsay.
Oh, is that today?
It's 13. Yep. She's already onto another class. I know I asked you to call her, but she's into
social
studies.
Doesn't she have a bat mitzvah coming up?
She got a bat mitzvah coming up. We got a whole thing going
on. When is that?
It's this weekend.
Oh, fantastic.
Listen how you say it.
Where are you going? Let's hear it.
I want it over with already.
Was it reasonable price wise?
Yeah. Depends what your definition of reasonable is.
Band or DJ?
To me, it's a mid-sized car. But to others, it would be reasonable.
Wedding bar mitzvah, morning bar mitzvah.
We talked about it last week. Back in the day, as you know, because we're the same tribe, Mark.
Yeah.
We used to get
Mark's actually Persian.
Well, I know, but but he's part of the tribe. We used to get a bat mitzvah to marry him off at the same time, and you used to get a dowel, right? You used to get a couple of
dowry. You get a cow.
You get a couple of chickens, a horse. You can replenish your farm.
You get nothing now. You get nothing.
I get a big fat bill. I get more than one bill.
But the joy in your daughter's face.
235 people. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, the constant thank yous you'll get from her punk friends who take their goodie bag and don't even know that you gave it to them.
I'm going to trip those bastards all over. Right there. I got extra security in place, and
You got separate adult and kid party going on?
Yeah. All right, enough of this.
The kids are over on the right side. I'm on the left. There's 135 of them.
You're a soft touch.
We're outnumbered, but
you love these kids.
But I can take at least 10 of them down at a time.
Love them.
Yeah, I love them all. I love them at 11:30 when they leave. So, so that's what we do. You know, it's deceiving.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Okay. Interest rates have gone up.
Yes, they have.
All right. Housing inventory is down.
It's tight.
I found the perfect house. Audrey and I have just found the perfect house.
Yeah. Good.
We're about to move into our perfect house.
Congratulations.
However.
Yes.
Maybe we should wait.
Sure, you should wait, and then the rates will go up another half a point, and the house won't be there.
I told you we should finance today.
Yeah, listen, you can wait all you want, right? Because you are a bond trader, and you have your finger on the pulse of exactly what's going on. You know where rates are going to go, because you're smarter than everybody else, and then you wait.
Can you imagine if I was a bond trader? How bad would that business be?
I would go the opposite of whatever you're trading. It would be great for me. But, you know,
bond trade would be James Bond DVDs. That's all I'm trading.
It'd be very scary. So the 30-year fixed average last year was 3.99%, according to Freddie Mac.
Okay.
Right now, in January, February, the average is like 4.3, 4.4. So we're up almost a full half a point since the average of last year. Mm-hmm. So I've been saying on this show and other shows on this radio station that we have a better shot at hitting 5 than we do hitting 3. Okay, you can go back and check the tape, right? And it's in an upwardly trajectory position that it's going up. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, if you're waiting for it to correct, I don't think you could think it'd be waiting a long time, other than a catastrophic event like 9/11 happening again, or something bad happened with the presidency where it freaks the markets out. Right now, economy's getting good. You got the Fed, who was supposedly predicting the rates were only going to go up 3 times this year, came out at the beginning of the year and said, hey, expect a 4-time increase because the economy's getting better. Folks, you better get ahead of this thing because it's not going away.
Okay, so Andre and I and our child, Mark, we don't have the perfect place yet, but we're trying to find a school district that will take Mark.
Yes.
Thanks, Dad.
It's difficult.
Yeah, which is not easy.
Yeah.
It's
tough to get a 30-year-old in a third grade.
Can we come into you and do the paperwork and be ready to go for when we do?
Yes. What we do is we do a full approval, not pre-approvals, because pre-approvals are worthless if you haven't heard.
An actual approval.
You come in, we take an application, we collect all of your information, and we submit it to one of our 6 in-house underwriters who will underwrite the file on a to-be-determined basis. They go through your income, they go through your credit, they go through everything.
Can we include Andrea's gambling winnings?
Yes. Okay. Yes, as long as we have a 2-year history and we could show it on your tax returns, it's good. Mm-hmm. I actually had a guy who took money out of an ATM, he was a gambler, took money out of the ATM in Des Plaines, okay, at Riverboat, at Rivers Casino, and then he went and gambled and then put the money back. So we had to get, true story, we had to get the ATM deposits with the withdrawals. Thank God he was a good gambler, and we were able to count the large deposits because we were able to show
You wonder why Hochberg is stressed out. These are the people he's dealing with.
I was going to ask him a question, but I don't want him.
No, he's a good friend of mine. I won't say his name. I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? What's this $15,000 deposit? He's like, oh yeah, I was at Rivers. I had a good night. It was great. I took out like 5, 10, 15 grand, and I put 30 in. So he's like, what's the problem? I'm like, what's the problem?
When we come back, Andre and I would like to know how we're going to continue to pay cash for Mark's therapist.
Thank you.
And then you have another question.
I have an appraising question.
Appraisal question for real. More with Hochberg in a moment. What's the website?
PERLDavid.com. You could go to WGNDavid.com and get you to the same place. You could call 312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we do work weekends.
Back after this, 720 WGN and CLTV. Back with David Hochberg, Andrea.
All right, so say, hypothetically, you are getting, you either want to refinance or whatnot, you get an appraisal, you refinance again, you get a lesser appraisal.
Yes.
Is that cause to worry?
No.
Does that mean your place is depreciating?
No, because that happened to you and you freaked out and I told you not to worry about it.
Hypothetically.
Right. No. Listen, it happens to a lot of people, right? It happened to me when I refinanced back in the day. I refinanced. It came in at one price. I refinanced it 8 months later when rates dropped again. It came in $20,000 left.
Right.
Less. My wife is freaking out going, what are we going to do? You know, I'm like, the house is lower in value. I'm like, you plan on moving anytime soon? I'm like, what are you worried about? You're like everybody else I talked to. I'm like, flip and relax.
Right.
I'm like, you know, you know, so houses in our area in the northern suburbs are all back to where they were. It shouldn't be an issue if you have a ton of equity and you're able to refinance. You have no control over it. If you really think you're being mishandled and have been misapplied in terms of value, there is a petition process where we could get comps, comparable values, mm-hmm. to submit to a review board, and 50-50 shot that it'll work to get the value back up.
But that's only used to get your new rate. It's not going to be used for anything else in the future.
No, it's just
five
used,
years.
No, it's got nothing to do with the with the taxes or okay. it helps
you.
You
got nothing on me, see?
Well, it helps you appeal your taxes if you get a very, very low one.
Right, okay.
That's when you want to use it to appeal your taxes.
All I ask is that you call Team Hochberg.
Yes.
Because, listen, why would you not want to at least try to get the deal? Try to see what Hochberg can. He's got tricks up his sleeve that I believe are legal.
And I ask you to do the same thing. That would be great. I really need the support. I could use all the help I could get right now.
Yeah.
Team Hochberg, what number?
312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or WGNDavid.com.
Before we get to Jen DeSalvo upstairs, let's say hi to Bill and Wendy after their little SNL excursion yesterday when we come back. Just back from Celebrity Jeopardy, the Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Museum of Broadcasting Communications.
Didn't Bill do a great job with that game yesterday?
Thank you.
Great job,
so.
Bill.
I thought fun. So.
Yeah. Thanks.
The category is things that start with the letter A. Is it Bobcat?
No.
What is Bobcat?
No. Still not right.
It's not right.
What
are you guys doing today?
Rerunning yesterday's show. We were very happy with the way things went. So
if you get a good show, why risk a new
right.
one?
Yeah, we'll run that again with directorial comments throughout.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Bonus track.
That's good. I've been looking for your making of DVD.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Today's the day.
Yep.
You want to come back and do this again tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll do it tomorrow. You guys are up now.